Good morning. Welcome to the Covenant Church. It's good to have you here for worship in person or listening throughout the church facility on the speakers or at home on video or listening to the audio. It's great to be here. We are hungry for a change, right? We're hungry for a change. We're thirsting for it. To return to what was, well, we don't have any control over that, do we? So we keep the faith. We endure. We do what we can. Well, how is that going for you? And I know that as I reflect about the last 4.5 months, just briefly, I think God is waiting for the world, the country, for us to change in the best possible way. So we'll kind of lean into that in the weeks ahead. God is patient. He's long-suffering. He's always loving, always forgiving, always faithful. And we come to worship Him today. Well, a few announcements. As the leaders, the church board, and the lead pastors will be looking at a new fall worship plan, possibly two services. You all took the survey. If you didn't, I think about 160 went out. We got like 75 back. You'll get the results on that soon. But Diaconate meets next Sunday, the church board, in 2 weeks. And, you know, we'll make the plan. Children's and youth, Sunday school, children's and youth ministry will open. There'll be new guidelines, but we're planning to go right ahead because the Lord is good. Fall will be beginning, so we're looking forward to that with new guidelines. The annual Safe Church training with new safety guidelines is August 23rd, 4 weeks from today. Thank God there's 5 weeks in August, though. The summer's not over yet. So in 4 weeks at 11:30 in the fellowship room, all volunteers, all leaders of the church expected to be there in person or watch it, review it online later. New beginnings, the clothing for school children, the ministry. We were given 9 names, and 6 of them are still remaining in the north wing here. There are 6 items for each child. Thank you to those who were able to help. If you're able to fill it, your name in one of the 6 lines or take a child completely, anything is good. And it's due back in 2 weeks, so let's be mindful of that and let's be generous as we can be. Communion is next Sunday. If you're here, we'll have communion, gluten-free option, or not option, gluten-free bread. If you're at home, have that bread and drink ready. It doesn't matter what it is because it's all to the Lord. So we look forward to that time of communion next Sunday. The bottom line is we're looking for satisfaction. We're looking for fulfillment. And that only happens in the Lord. We know that. That's why we're here. So we come to worship. We come to lift up the name of the Lord, to worship the Lord, to come into His presence, to call upon His name. So we can say, "Come, Holy Spirit, come."
Your heart. Join with me. Please rise in our call to worship. The Lord is my light and my salvation.
Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life.
Of whom shall I be afraid?
Though an army encamp against me,
my heart shall not fear.
Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord,
and to inquire in His temple.
I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Lord,
be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Please join us in the Silver Brook, 168.
Abba, Father, we worship you, we praise you, we glorify you. Be glorified in our lives, in our song, in our midst, in your church, O Lord. Oh, that the world that is lost, may they see you in us. Even as we worship, Lord, as we live our life in faith, Lord, may you be glorified. We need your word and your spirit, O Lord. We are nothing without you. In our weakness, you make us strong, and we wait upon you. We love you. We pray the abundance of your presence to be here today, Lord. To cast out all fear. To step boldly with you. Because it's your power and your spirit, your anointing, Lord. So come, Holy Spirit, come. We know that you are present. Fill us to overflowing. Open up your word to us today that we would be transformed after your likeness, after your will. We know there's an enemy, but we have victory in Jesus' name. So we pray the prayer about your kingdom that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
First scripture reading this morning comes to us from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, and it can be found on page 917 in your pew Bible if you care to follow along. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that was given to us. Our second reading comes from the book of the Revelation to John, chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And it can be found on page 995 in your pew Bible. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your affliction and your poverty. Though you are rich, I know the slander on the part of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are of a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Beware, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison so that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will receive affliction. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Whoever conquers will not be harmed by the second death. This is the word of the Lord.
Loves us and poured out his love on us. you can help us to persevere, Lord, and to even grow and to bless others in those moments. And so we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.
The sound of his voice, seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken from my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well with me. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well, it is well. So take hold, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. The waves and wind still know his name. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is
beautiful. Thank you, ladies. I feel like we could just end church right there. You don't really need to hear from me now. Would you all bow your heads in prayer with me? Father, I thank you for this time that we can come together and praise the name of Jesus, Lord, that you are mighty. You are mighty to save. So, Father, we just lift this up to you. I lift this message up. Holy Spirit, take these words. Pierce our hearts and let your message come through. And let all eyes be on only you. In Jesus' name, amen. I had the privilege of meeting a pastor from Africa this past November. He was in the United States on a seminary scholarship, and he was partnering with the Covenant to network and raise funds for his orphanage back home. This pastor lives in an area of Africa that is frequently tormented by Islamic extremists. Some of these extremists are relatives of the Christians they actually persecute. In their attempt to free them from the evils of Christianity, they raid their homes and they give the elders or the parents of the homes the opportunity to renounce their faith in Jesus and return to Islam. If they don't, they are killed in front of their children, and their children are left alone in their homes to fend for themselves. This pastor and his wife have opened up their home to rescue these children. They have 14 children living in a two-bedroom apartment. They have no idea how they will pay the rent each month, and they have no idea how they will provide food for their household. And there are many more that he hasn't been able to bring in, but hopes to expand into a full-fledged orphanage. I was very moved by our conversations for several reasons, but one that I want to share with you. This man told me that he never knows if he's going to be physically safe, that he's faced death many times, but he does not live in fear. He said, "There is nothing that they can do to me. If I die, I live with Jesus. If I live, I fight for these kids. Either way, I win, because eventually I will be with Jesus." When we view our circumstances through the lens of eternity, it changes everything in our lives. Here is a man who is poor with no prospect of helping himself because he refuses to renounce his faith in Jesus. But yet, he is so rich in the Lord. This man is a modern-day example of what the Church of Smyrna experienced. Smyrna was a very wealthy city, one of the most wealthy cities in all of Asia Minor. They were a lively city with an active cultural life that included pagan worship and worshiping the Emperor of Rome. They actually had an altar just for the emperor that they would sprinkle incense on, and they would burn it and declare that the emperor is Lord. This was a requirement that had to be done once a year. Those who refused not only risked their lives, but they were also not able to receive their certificate. This certificate basically gave them the right to work, to buy and sell things, own property, live within society. But the Christians in Smyrna refused to worship the emperor because they would not declare that anyone but Jesus Christ was Lord. So they were left isolated and unable to take care of themselves. They had nothing and no way to provide for themselves. The word poverty used in Revelation 2:9 means extreme poverty. So they weren't just poor, but they were the actual poorest of the poor, living in one of the wealthiest cities in all of Asia Minor. Smyrna had a very large Jewish population. However, these Jews were more of a bloodline than they were a religion. They were in the line of Abraham, but they had absolutely no use for Christianity or even their own faith. Many of these Jews were also family members to the Christians that they persecuted. Not only did they spread lies and rumors about them, they even worked with Rome to have them tortured and killed. Many of the Jews in this area plotted and viciously attacked the Christians, all in the name of the Jewish faith. yet they had no faith of their own. In Revelation 2:9, Jesus says to the church of Smyrna, "I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews, but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." Many of the Jews in Smyrna were doing the work of Satan. They were actively persecuting the Christians, not trying to protect their own faith. But Smyrna was a witness to the other churches in the area and to the Christians. They were a bright testimony for the Lord Jesus. They showed the world that even in persecution and trials, if you push deeper and deeper into your faith, it will grow and it will carry you through these difficult times. We read today in Romans 5 that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and our hope won't disappoint us. They held on to that hope of the Savior. And Jesus goes on in verse 10, encourages them to be faithful until death, and he says, "I will give you the crown of life." James says in chapter 12, verse 1, that blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he is approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. The Lord saw their tribulation, and the Christians in Smyrna, they literally loved him with everything in their being. The name Smyrna means myrrh. And we know that myrrh was an anointing oil that was used not only to prepare bodies for burial, but also to anoint priests. It was also used as a sweet-smelling perfume. Psalm 45 talks about how the heavenly bridegroom will have the fragrance of myrrh. Myrrh was one of the gifts that the wise men came and offered to Jesus when he was born. It was a perfect and fitting gift for the one who would become our high priest, who would die to save us, and one day who would return as our bridegroom. The interesting thing about myrrh is that in order to extract the oil, you literally have to crush the plant. And when you crush it, a very sweet aroma is released. And just like the church of Smyrna, they were being crushed by their persecution, and they were releasing a sweet aroma of faithfulness. One of the definitions for the word tribulation in Greek used in Revelation 2 is an intense crushing or pressure to the point of actual bursting. And Isaiah tells us in chapter 53 that Jesus was crushed for our iniquities and our sins. Jesus knows what it's like to be crushed to the point of bursting. He knows the pain and suffering that we all face. God is most concerned about our spiritual conditioning, and suffering and perseverance will grow our faith. People's faith grew and was sustained in Jesus' suffering. People's faith grew while they were suffering in Smyrna. Our faith is what carries us through and gives us the strength and a power to endure. Our faith is our most powerful weapon. When we tap into that, we are unstoppable. That is why God fiercely protects it, why you have heavenly armies of angels that surround you. That's why he tests it and grows it to strengthen you. But that is also why Satan attacks it, and at times he viciously comes to attack. When we go through trials, not only is our faith tested, but Peter says in 1 Peter 1 that it may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. Peter says our faith is more precious than gold, but even gold has to be tested by the fire. The test of the fire keeps us pure. It makes our light shine more brightly and exposes the evil around us. Jesus goes on and encourages Smyrna not to be afraid for what they're about to suffer, because eternity will always be worth everything you go through on this earth. Just like the agony on the cross that Jesus endured, he knew that when he returned to heaven to be with his Father, that it was going to be more than worth the pain and suffering he went through on earth. Because of his pain and suffering, we have been given the gift of eternal life. And while we're here on earth, we need to be those lampstands, the light that shines in the place of darkness. The testimony of Jesus shined on earth, and Smyrna shined brightly for Jesus. Christians are being persecuted worldwide, even some in our own country. The letter to Smyrna is both an encouragement and a warning for us today. Jesus said there will be trials and tribulations, and he never said he came to end them. But he did come to give us a new way to be able to deal with them. And if we walk with Jesus through these trials, our lamps shine brighter and brighter in the darkness. Our testimony for the Lord grows stronger. It becomes more evident. It touches more people. The persecutions and trials should drive us to depend more on our faith. That is what is going to bring us through those moments and carry us when we just don't have the strength to do it ourselves. It's what the world is going to watch when we walk this out. Jesus encouraged Smyrna to stand strong, even if it meant death, because not one moment of our lives, of our suffering, of our pain is ever wasted. Jesus will shine through if we allow him in every single moment, even in death. I know that today it's hard to imagine in our country being persecuted for our faith to the point of death. But history and even current events paint a very different picture. The pastor that I spoke of earlier is a living example of what Christians are now experiencing all over the world. We can allow our trials to break our faith or grow our faith. Now is not the time for us to back down. We are living in a time when the spiritual battle is in full force. Paul says, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against the powers of the dark world and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. The battle is on, and your shield is your faith. The way that we walk this out affects the battle in the heavenly realm and on earth. The church of Smyrna did this very well. And in their battle, they stood firm. They did not let the world or the persecution move them. Their steadfastness affected their witness on earth. And Jesus himself promised them the blessing of the crown of life. All of heaven saw their struggles and pain, and they rejoiced because they knew what was in store for them in eternity. And all of heaven rejoices and knows what's in store for each one of us. Even as it hurts, we have to count it as joy. We need to train ourselves to look at our lives and circumstances through the lens of eternity. Jesus did that. He saw his whole purpose on earth through the lens of eternity. And he encouraged the church of Smyrna to do the same, and that encouragement is for us today. No matter what happens in this life, God's love remains for us. It doesn't matter if we're a hard egg, or a soft carrot, or coffee grounds, or his love remains. That's how we can persevere through. Our place is secure in eternity. Persecution and trial will come, but you never, ever know how your testimony can change the world or eternity for someone. Think about that. Your living, breathing, walking testimony can change somebody's eternity. That's power, church. That's power. And Smyrna did that. Because modern-day Smyrna is located in Izmir, Turkey. And centuries later, there are still Christians in this city, even though 99% is Muslim. God is still present in Turkey today. Even in all the unrest, there is a remnant from the Church of Smyrna there today. Their faith and faithfulness still has lasting fruit in this city centuries later. Your testimony is precious. Guard it and protect it because Satan wants to destroy it. You are the lamps in this world, but Satan wants to take your lights out. But you have the power to withstand. You have the authority in Jesus' name to cast Satan out. You have the power and authority to drive away the darkness. Don't be afraid to use it. God didn't leave you powerless. Jesus came and gave you that power and authority. And church, we all need to come together and stand together in unity to strengthen and carry each other. Because we're not alone in this. And the brighter our light shines as the church, the less darkness that can withstand. But we need each other because the church has a testimony. The church as a whole has a testimony. Jesus knows our afflictions. He knows the slander that comes against the church. He sees the suffering and the persecution of his people. But he says we have to be faithful to death just as he was. Because his faithfulness is why we have eternal life. His faithfulness is the reason that we can face affliction and persecution and trials. Because if the devil has his way, he will destroy you. But Jesus gave you life and freedom. We have to rise up and walk in that. Jesus, there is no weapon that can be formed against us. You all have the victory. Every single one of you have the victory. Because the God of angel armies is on each one of your side. But we have to be prepared for the persecution because even though we aren't experiencing it like it's happening in other countries, it doesn't mean that it's not happening. According to the World Christian Encyclopedia, this is very disturbing. In the second and third centuries, about 5 million people were killed because of their faith. In the last century, more people have been killed because of their faith than of all previous 19 centuries combined. It's here. Christians are in a time of extreme persecution. And this was a particularly difficult sermon for me to write because I don't really like the doom and gloom. And there was a big heaviness on my heart about this. And I know that the Lord wants us to be prepared. We can't ignore what's going on in the world. Because there are people in this world that are losing their businesses and their livelihoods because of their faith. There are people who are being attacked and harmed. Churches aren't safe. Pastors are being harmed on the streets. Look at the news. Look at the internet. It's all there. And even though we're in a small town, we're not that far away from where these things are happening. In fact, most of us have probably traveled farther to go to vacation than where some of these incidences are taking place. But God gave us the power and authority to push that away. See, when we come together in unity as a church and we stand up to the powers of the darkness of hell, there's no chance. But we have to unite together as the church, walk through the power and the victory that Jesus gave us together. It's all about together. We need to lift each other up. We need to raise each other up. And when we stumble and fall, we need to pick each other up. That is the testimony of the power of what Christ can do. We don't have to accept what the enemy wants to give us. We should not accept what the enemy wants to give us, because that's not what Jesus gave us. And how we respond is critical. Critical not just for us, but for our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids. Because our children need to know and see how to press into the Lord when persecution comes their way. Our children's world is going to look very different in the future than it is today, even very different from what we imagined it would look like. And we have to prepare them for that. We have to teach them to look at their circumstances through the eyes of eternity. We have to show them how to stand up for Christ, how to continue to shine Jesus' light in this world, no matter how dark it may be around us. Because if we don't teach them and show them how to do this, the world will. And our children were not made for this world. They were made for heaven. They were made to live in eternity with their Savior. All of us were. But we need to teach them. And the Lord has a word of an encouragement for those of you who have older children or adult children who are not following the Lord right now. Your testimony matters. Your testimony as parents is the most important testimony your children will ever see. Because your children know your weaknesses. They know your failures. They have seen you at your best and your worst. You need to show them how to go and to press into the Lord. When life throws junk your way, they need to see you pressing into the Lord and calling your strength and help from heaven. When you've sinned, they need to see you on your knees repenting and knowing that they can go to that same God and be loved and forgiven. When wonderful things happen and the Lord blesses you, they need to see your hands raised praising the Lord for the goodness that He has given. You can't be quiet about what the Lord is doing in your life. You have to let them see the light of God through your lives. Talk to them. You don't have to be in their face. But they need to know who the source of your strength is. Because your testimony and everything you have ever gone through in their lives could be the very thing that softens their heart to the point where the Holy Spirit can come in and reconcile them back to the Lord. You, parents, have the power to change their eternity. Our kids carry the hope of the world inside them too. No matter what age they are, they will never, ever be too young to be the reflection of Jesus on earth. We can be an example of faithfulness to them. We are all lights of Jesus in this world. The battle has already been won. We just need to stand up and walk in that victory. We have to keep our minds focused on eternity because that is strength for us. That was Smyrna's strength and Jesus' strength. Even in the agony that Jesus went through on the cross, He drew His strength from focusing on eternity. He was able to endure because He knew how so many people's lives would change forever. And Smyrna held on because they knew that their testimony was changing people's lives. The pain and suffering they were experiencing was affecting people's eternity. We are no different today. We can have that same effect. So ask yourselves, how are you walking this out? Are we overwhelmed with our trials? Or are we looking for ways to let the light of Jesus shine through those trials? Are we walking out our faith so that the world can see Jesus in our lives? Do our trials and suffering give the world the opportunity to meet Jesus? I want to share with you this quote from Susanna Spurgeon, the wife of Charles Spurgeon, because it pretty much sums up how we should look at our trials and suffering through the lens of eternity. She said, the moment we come into any trial or difficulty, our first thought should be not how soon we can escape from it or how we may lessen the pain from it, but how can we best glorify God in it? How many of you need some strength? How many of you are thirsty? Look through the lens of eternity. Can you imagine what it'll be like to be by Jesus' side for all of eternity? To be surrounded in that glory? Can you see that? Paul said in 2 Corinthians, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things we cannot see. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Look through the lens of eternity, because that is what is waiting for you. Amen. Would you join me in prayer and in our petition? Heavenly Father, We can only imagine what it will be like to be in your presence. But thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son so that one day we will all have the opportunity to be surrounded by your glory in your presence. But until that day, Lord, we ask for your strength and your power to be filled in us so that we may walk forth as lights of the testimony of Jesus. For this world has many sufferings in it, and many of our own family and friends and our church family are dealing with sufferings, Lord. So we lift them up to you. We lift those up suffering with loss and illness and grief. We lift those suffering with mental illness and addictions. We lift those up, Lord, that are weak and tired and in need of your refreshment. And we ask, Lord, that you would pour out your refreshing water over them, that you would saturate each one of them with your presence, your healing, your love, your comfort, and your strength, that they would know that their Savior walks every moment and that every moment of their life has a purpose. We lift up our church to you, Lord, for it is yours. We ask for your wisdom to help us to know which direction you're calling us to. We ask for your love to flow over us and through us so that we may be united to share the testimony of Christ into this world. For no matter what happens in this world, the mission is the same. And you have called your church to continue on in that mission. So surround your church with your heavenly armies, with your mighty warriors of protection, Lord, and give us the power and the boldness and the courage to go forth into the world, to declare that our God is good, to declare that Jesus Christ is the only one who can save. Help us to shine brilliantly in this world around us. And Lord, we offer up this petition to you. Lord, make us an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is dying that we are born into eternal life. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Amen.
It is time to bring our offerings. Lord, we just ask you a blessing over all the people here as they bring forward gifts for you, Lord, for your kingdom work, and to bring forth what has been spoken here today in the confidence, just knowing that you are the victor and you will win the day. So as we do this, there'll be music, so come during the music time. I hear you saying, children, you are my children. All of us, from the youngest to the oldest, you are mine. Lord, set our hearts into you, that we see only eternity and not what the world says. We have to just settle ourselves into rest and into peace and your rest you have already given to us. Help us to settle into it, to be able to give you all things and have just this confidence that we know you will settle all things in our lives. We have to be willing to let go of some things that we believe we have to hold on to. It is not so. It is a lie. God wants us so dedicated, so assured of the work he's doing, that he keeps us set, our feet solid on the rock of his love. I pray this over each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Beloveds, the one who reigns forever is a friend of each and every one of you. The God of angel armies is right by every single one of your sides. So I pray, Father, open our eyes to see through the lens of eternity. Holy Spirit, fill us and strengthen us with the power of Jesus Himself to stand up and walk tall in the victory that Christ has given each one of you. In Jesus' mighty name, go in peace. Amen.